If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Joshua chapter 12. Last week, if you were here, we jumped back into our Joshua series. We had taken a little break with Father's Day, and then Joshua spoke, I was gone, and so we took a break. And last week, we jumped back into chapter 11. And if you remember, we saw the Israelites finish the war, right? They finished these battles that they had been going through, country after country, king after king. We saw that they finally finished this battle. This battle that we found out, I talked to you last week and told you that as I studied this, we realized that it was about 7 years that had passed from Joshua 1 to the end then of Joshua 11. They scholars figure out that it was approximately about 7 years that had passed. But now, the battles, for the time being, okay, for the time being, for this time, they're over, right? As a matter of fact, the last sentence that we read last week in chapter 11 said, "Then the land had rest from war," right? That was the last sentence of chapter 11. "Then the land had rest from war." They had finished what they had set out to do, right? We talked last week about finishing the race. They had finished what they set out to do. After 7 years of war, after 7 years of challenges and struggles, right, and difficulties, they finally finished and got to experience some rest. Now, I want to say this before we dive into chapter 12 this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to maybe let this bring some hope to you, all right? Maybe you've been going through some challenges. Maybe you've been going through some struggles, some difficulties, some battles in your life. And maybe it's been going on for quite some time. But I encourage you this morning to grab hold of the hope, right? The hope that we see at the end of chapter 11, that a day will come for you, like Joshua and the Israelites, when you will have rest from war, rest from the battles. Let the encouragement be your hope to press on. Amen? Well, as we transition from chapter 11 into chapter 12, we're given a list of kings that Israel defeated to end this war. Pretty much that's what chapter 12 is. Chapter 12 just basically lists you all the kings that Israel defeated, from Jericho at the very beginning until the last one, the king of Tirzah. There were a total of 31 kings in all. 31 kings that they defeated. Now, I'm not going to read actually through chapter 12 this morning. Normally I read, through the chapter, but it's basically just reading all the names of the kings, and I'm pretty sure that I would mispronounce all of them anyways, so we're not going to read through that this morning. But knowing that, knowing what this chapter is about, all the kings that they've defeated, the real question we have to ask ourselves is, okay, why is it in the Bible, right? Why, what's the purpose of this chapter, just listing these kings that were defeated? How does this chapter with the list of defeated kings affect my life today, right here, July 6th, 2014? What is it that the Lord wants to speak to us through chapter 12 this morning? This is the hard part of, as a pastor, as you walk through book by book, you get to some of those chapters and you're like, okay, God, what do you want me to say about this chapter, right? You're like, okay, it's just a list of kings that were defeated. What is it that you want to say to us? Well, I think I have the answer this morning, all right? I think I have the answer to that question. The reality is this chapter is all about victory. It's all about victory. It shows us that Joshua and the Israelites experienced victory time and time again. And they did it with the help of the Lord. They did it with the strength of the Lord. And so I think that this chapter is an amazingly encouraging chapter when it comes to realizing the victories that we can experience in and through the Lord. Now, one of the things we have to realize, today, our victories are going to look a little different than the victories looked like for Joshua and the Israelites back then. In these days, Joshua and the Israelites, they fought with swords, right, and with shields. They had weapons. It was physical, hand-to-hand combat. It was a physical battle of the flesh. That's what we see here in Joshua, right? It's flesh coming against one another, battling against each other. But as I've mentioned many times before, our battle today is not against flesh and blood, right? We see that in Ephesians 6. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness, right? Our battles are spiritual. We have spiritual battles that we're facing each and every day. Now, I want to say this, okay? And this is important to hear this. You see, sometimes we think our battles are against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think that our battle is against that person right over there that's sticking out. I've got to be careful who I point to, because they're going to be like, he doesn't like me. It's against that person over there, okay? All right? It's against that person that's ticked you off, right? No comments. But the thing is so often we see people as the enemy. But the fact is, it's all spiritual. We should never, okay, listen, and this is a hard word to hear. We should never view any person as the enemy. You see, if you think about it, people, they're our mission, right? We're called to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to all people, right? To see all people come to know the Lord. But we won't do that if we see them as the enemy, right? If we see them as the enemy, then we're not going to want to go share with them. We're not going to want to love them or care for them. We can't see them as the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And he loves to stir up conflict and bring division among people. He loves to hide behind people so that we see the people and we see them as the enemy. And we begin to fight amongst each other and hurt one another. But Satan is the enemy. We can't let him suck us into believing that people are the enemy. He is the enemy. And if you fast forward to the end of this book, right? We see it, well, it was really not the end of Joshua, it was the middle of Joshua. But if you fast forward to the end of this book, you will see that Jesus has already won the victory. We see who he defeated. He defeated Satan. He defeated the enemy. And in the same way we read about the kings that Joshua defeated, at the end of this book, we read that Satan and all his cronies, okay, all his demons, whatever you want to call them, they have been defeated. God is victorious. The question, though, is, are we walking in that victory? In our everyday life, are we walking in the victory that God has given us? We talked about that freedom, right? We talked this morning about being the 4th of July. We have this freedom. How many people are really walking in that freedom? How many of us are really walking in that victory? Are we walking in that victory, or are we letting the enemy to continue to defeat? I can talk this morning. Are we letting the enemy continue to defeat us? Are we relentlessly pursuing God? Our mission to serve God? You know, I had something this week, and this isn't even in my notes. Just a little side thing for you. I've been working real hard on a project for my kids, building a little tree fort, tree house kind of thing. I get home after work. I work till like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm just like going, working hard. And why? I love my kids, and I'm so excited as they're seeing this, and they're getting excited about this, you know, tree house, fort, playhouse, whatever. Depends on who you talk to, my daughter or my son, what it is, right? But they're so excited, and I love them so much. I'm putting all this time, I'm putting all this effort after I get home from work all day on my day off. I'm just going crazy, working hard, right? And I thought about this. How often do I work this hard for the Lord? You know, we will sacrifice so much for these things that we love. I say I love the Lord, but I struggle to get up in the morning and read my Bible. I struggle to do those extra things, but yet I'll do it for my kids because I want to, you know. Are we relentlessly pursuing God? Are we relentlessly pursuing our mission to serve Him? Are we fighting to overcome temptation and sinful habits that bring us down? Are we stepping out in faith and allowing God to go before us and to bring us the victories? Are we doing what we're called to do? Right? Are we doing what we're called to do? What are we called to do? It's different for each of us, but I can tell you there's a few things that we're all called to do. We're called to love God. Called to love people and to see His kingdom extended. That's our mission statement. It's a simple mission statement, but it's what all of us as Christians are called to do. Are we doing what we're called to do? You see, the victory, it was won on the cross. We celebrated this morning in doing communion. The victory was won on the cross. But we're still responsible to claim that victory. We still have to do something, right? How many times did we hear in Joshua so far where God said to the Israelites, where He said to Joshua that He was giving them the victory, right? He'd say, tomorrow I will give you the victory. You know, and numerous times we heard Him say, but this time tomorrow I will have delivered them into your hands, right? We heard that time and time again. But here's the thing. He said, I'll give you the victory tomorrow, but they still had to go to war, right? They still had to go to battle. Now, it wouldn't have been nice if they had said, okay, great, we'll just sit here. You go take care of it, God. And yes, He could, but that's not the way He works. We have to get up and we have to move. They still had to go to battle. They had to show up and fight, and that same is true for us. We have to show up. We have to be willing to go to battle. We have to be willing to claim the victory. You see, Jesus gave up everything when He came down to this earth. And I think sometimes we don't really, it's hard for us to fathom that. Here He was in heaven. No pain, just wonderful, right? And He came to earth as a human to experience life the way we do. He gave all that up, all the glories of heaven, to come and to be born into a manger and to wash dirty disciples' feet. I mean, all these things, and to ultimately die on a cross, a grueling and painful death. And here's the thing, He didn't do that for us to live defeated lives. He did that so that we could walk in victory. We could walk in His freedom, both in this life and in the life to come. In my studies this week, I came across an illustration from the Korean War. Now, I couldn't verify if it was actually true, but either way, it makes a great point, so I'm going to share it with you. It says, Bravo Company was cut off from other American troops, and they were surrounded by enemy forces. Headquarters hadn't heard from them for several hours. The radio man at headquarters kept calling, Bravo Company, come in. Bravo Company, do you read me? Finally, after several hours, a faint reply came through the static. This is Bravo Company. What is your situation? The radio man asked. Bravo Company replied, The enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the north of us, to the west of us, to the south of us. Now they can't get away from us. Now, probably not the perspective that we would have in that situation, right? If we found ourselves surrounded by the enemy, we would mostly be crying out for help. Mayday, mayday, we're surrounded by the enemy. Hurry, come, come, you know, right? We'd be calling in enemy fire around us. We'd be calling for reinforcements. But here's the thing, when we find ourselves surrounded by the enemy, we have to remember the victory's ours. It doesn't matter that we're surrounded by the enemy. God has given us the victory. We can't give up. We can't panic. We have to keep moving towards the victory. We have to keep moving forward. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to just read this to you. Verses 8 and 9. He says this. We are hard pressed on every side. Doesn't that sound great? But not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. What a perspective, huh? The enemy's coming in, man, perplexed, all these things, but hey, God is still in control, right? And he goes on to say in verse 16 through 18, it finishes saying this, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, so often we focus on what's seen, right? The enemy that's got us surrounded. Oh no, that's what we focus on. But we fail to see the unseen, which is the victory that is beyond the enemy. The victory that God has given us over that enemy that may surround us. It's a spiritual battle. And this morning I want to share with you just three quick principles for the spiritual battle that we face. This is true about the spiritual battle that we face. Three principles, three truths in reality. The first is this. War begins with confrontation. The war, the battles that we face, they begin with confrontation. You see, the reality is many of us are afraid of confrontation, right? We often try to avoid confrontation. I know, I used to, all the time. I used to avoid confrontation at all costs. Now let me say this real quick before I finish. Again, people aren't the enemy, okay? And from a human perspective, in the human realm, I don't think we should be afraid of confrontation, right? We shouldn't be afraid, you know, speaking the truth, talking through things, standing up for stuff. But I also don't think we should be creating unnecessary confrontation, all right? But in the spiritual realm, it's a completely different thing, all right? In the spiritual realm, we have to be ready to confront the enemy. Because I'm going to tell you, if you give your life to Jesus, the enemy's going to come, all right? And we have to be ready to confront the enemy. If we avoid confrontation with the enemy, then we're never going to experience victory. We're never going to possess the land that God has for us. You see, this is exactly what happened to the first generation of Israelites, right? We remember the story. I've shared with it before. The spies, they go out, right? God said, go, I'll give you this land. And they spy out the land. And if you're familiar with the story, they said, the enemy are like giants, right? And they use this phrasing. If you remember in the scripture, it says, we are like grasshoppers compared to them. They were afraid. They were afraid to confront the enemy, and so they avoided confrontation. And guess what happened? They ended up wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And if you read closely, you realize that none of them made it to the promised land. All of those died in the desert. Okay? We can't avoid confrontation. Now, confrontation, it's simply one side standing up against another. Okay? In Matthew 16, there's the scripture that says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when I think of this confrontation, this is one of the scriptures that comes to my mind. Because what I often think of in this scripture, the gates of hell shall not prevail, is that the enemy tries to do, just like the Korean story I shared earlier, Korean War story, the enemy wants to surround us. And wants to put up these gates and these walls to keep us from advancing and moving forward, right? He wants to do whatever he can to keep us from being effective and going forward and doing what God's called us to do. And if we're afraid of confrontation, if we're not willing to confront the enemy, then we're trapped. We're not going to go anywhere. God's saying you need to step up and confront the enemy. You need to kick those gates down and begin to advance and begin to move forward, to possess the land that God has for us. See, the reality is we're going to experience confrontation. Joshua and the Israelites, they saw this all too well. As they began to do what God told them to do, we see countries that usually fought against each other, right? There were these countries that they usually battled against each other, and all of a sudden they started coming together to come against the Israelites. It seemed like the opposition got greater and greater from one battle to the next. As we walked through Joshua 1 through 11 last week, it seemed like each battle there were greater and greater armies coming against them. And any military strategist would have told Joshua that he would be crazy to confront these guys. But he didn't allow the enemy to intimidate him because he knew he had God on his side. When we're serving God and seek to advance His kingdom, we're going to experience confrontation. The enemy is going to try to intimidate us. He's going to try to get us to back down. War begins with confrontation. Know that and don't be afraid of it, because the second principle that's true is what's going to happen. If we confront it, we're going to find out that the second thing, war is conflict. Okay? We can back down and we cannot fight, but we're not going to go anywhere. But if we're willing to confront the enemy, it is going to lead to conflict. Once that confrontation takes place, if neither side backs down, there's going to be a clash that happens. And I can tell you this, the enemy's not going to back down. We're the ones that back down. And we shouldn't be afraid of conflict. You see, God knew what possessing the land meant for the Israelites. He knew it meant battle. He knew it meant going against some big people, great, vast armies. He knew what it meant for the Israelites, and He knows what it means for us. When He tells us to move forward, He knows the conflict and the things that we're going to face. And that's why again and again throughout these scriptures, we hear the Lord say, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes we think, oh, look at what I have to face, as if God didn't know we were going to face it. God knows when He tells you to follow Him, He knows you're going to face confrontation. He knows the enemy's going to come, and that's why He says, don't be afraid. Now, why did God tell the Israelites not to be afraid here in these scriptures? Any guess? Because they were afraid, right? They were afraid. God knew that. He's God, okay? If they weren't afraid, He wouldn't have told them, don't be afraid, okay? Because God knows. He wouldn't have told them this. You see, God knows that we're human. He knows our failures. He knows that Joshua and the Israelites, they were a little scared. That's why He kept telling them, don't be afraid. Time and time again, we saw that from 1 through chapter 11 last week. We saw Him say, don't be afraid. And that's why I told him time and time again. And I think a lot of times when we read these stories of these great heroes in the Bible, we think that they were like superheroes, right? Like they were superhuman, that they didn't have fears. They just went forward and they just, Superman just walking forward, letting the bullets bounce off his chest. No fear. As if it was easy for them and they had these special powers that took away their fears. But I want to guarantee you that all these people that we see in the Bible that did these amazing things, I guarantee you they were afraid as they stepped out. You know, I think of David and Goliath. I'll bet you that hand was shaking, right? I'm pretty sure that as he slung that sling around, he was probably shaken. And it wasn't him that got that stone to Goliath. It was the Lord that did it for him. Joshua, we see here, was afraid. Moses was afraid. You know, Peter was afraid, right? He ran. He was scared. He denied Jesus. These great men and women of the Bible, they were afraid. They too experienced the butterflies and the shaky hands. But here's the thing. They faced their fears and they pushed through the fears. They didn't let the fears keep them from moving forward. They overcame them. And they did it in the same way that we can, by putting our hope and trust in the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit or through the power of God in their lives. we're going to experience conflict, and it may be hard and challenging stuff, but we have to remember that the victory has already been won. We just need to press on. And as we press on, we'll experience the third principle, which is this: war concludes with victory. And this is for anyone who has given their life to Jesus and has become a follower of Christ. War will conclude with victory. And when the victory has been won, the great thing is we'll finally have rest from war, like we read about at the end of chapter 11. We'll get to experience rest in the Lord. Let me read this illustration. In late 1824, the first Australian-born explorer, Hamilton Hume, led an expedition to map the region known now as New South Wales. Now, his goal was to move southeast through the interior until the expedition reached the southern coast of Australia. Along the way, Hume and his men came face to face with a huge mountain range that blocked their way. Exhausted and discouraged, Hume's men begged him to give up and to turn back. Hume pointed to the high mountain ahead and he said, "If we attain that summit, I know we'll see the ocean, we'll find what we're looking for, and we can return home and tell others of our success." So Hume and his men climbed the mountain. Finally reaching the summit, they looked out, but there was no ocean. They saw nothing but miles and miles of ridges and forests. They marked that location of the mountain on their map and named it Mount Disappointment. They continued on and eventually reached Corio Bay. And after reaching it and making it, they reported that the interior of Australia was habitable, and soon settlers streamed into the outback because of their exploration. The intimidating mountain range that made Hume's men want to turn back is now known as Hume Range, and now millions drive the Hume Highway from Sydney to Melbourne. Now, I share this illustration with you because the reality is life is going to be filled with Mount Disappointments. It's going to happen as we move forward in this spiritual battle. Life is going to be filled with numerous Mount Disappointments. But the question is, are we going to give up and turn back? Or are we going to trust in the Lord? Trust in the victory that we have in Him and continue to move forward. Continue to rely on His strength to keep climbing, to keep scaling that mountain. God wants us to conquer those mountains. He wants us to keep moving forward and to possess the land that He has for each and every one of us. He wants us to experience His victory in whatever we face, whatever we go through. He wants us to experience that victory. We have to remember, again, we're in this great spiritual battle. And along the way, we're going to be confronted. And after that confrontation, there's going to come conflict. We're going to experience some intense battles. We're going to experience our Mount Disappointments in life. But if we continue to press on and continue to follow the Lord, in the end, we will experience victory. Our spiritual battles will conclude with victory. And I don't know about you, but as I look forward to this time, I can't wait to rest for eternity with my Father, with my Savior, the one who made victory possible, right? You know, the title of my message I had kind of done early, and sometimes afterwards I wish I could have changed a little bit, but it was titled Hail to the Victors, right? Because the victory that was won. But I almost think it really should have been Hail to the Victor, because it's Jesus who has brought the victory. He brought it for the Israelites, and it's Him that's brought victory for us. And we need to give praise and honor to Him, because it is a spiritual battle. We will be confronted by the enemy. And if we press through as we should, we will experience conflict and battles and war. But we have to hold on to the hope and the reality that we have victory in Jesus. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. even this word that I struggled, Lord, at first, what would this list of kings, what would you want to speak to us? But the reality that this chapter screams of victory, Lord. The victory that you brought to the Israelites. And it reminds us of the victory that you brought to us and that you want us to experience in our lives, Lord. And as I shared earlier, you went through all these things so that we could experience victory. You didn't go through the cross so that we could live lives that were defeated, live lives in bondage. And so, Lord, help us to experience the victory that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, each of our battles, each of our journeys are different. We're going to have different roadblocks, different mountains, different disappointments along the way. But help us, Lord, to continue to seek you. Help us to continue to press on, Lord. Continue to fight the battles that you've called us to fight, to experience the victories that you've called us to experience, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for those small victories that give us that encouragement to press on. And that's my prayer this morning, Lord. For maybe a few people in this room, I just sense that maybe a few people have just been fighting and haven't seen victory for a while. And they're discouraged. And they feel like maybe they want to give up. But Lord, give them that hope. Help them to see that victory lies ahead. And I pray you help them to experience, Lord, even if it's just a little victory, to give them that hope to continue to press on in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder of the fact that you are the one that brings the victory. May we seek you in all that we do. May we not be afraid to continue to move forward, Lord. Help us not be like the first generation Israelites, that we're afraid of confrontation, afraid of the conflict that might happen. And because of that, Lord, they wandered in a desert and ultimately died, not experiencing the promised land that you had for them. Help us to be like this new generation of Israelites that went forward with boldness, that weren't afraid of the spiritual battle that lies ahead and were faithful to live the life that you called them to live, Lord. That's what I want to do, and I pray that for each and every person in this room, Lord. We thank you for your word again. May it penetrate our hearts and challenge us, encourage us, and be our hope this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you are encouraged this morning to go and to claim the victory that Jesus has for each and every one of you.